So after Pesach concludes, I always get nervous because I know that means that we're on our way to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur before you know it. So in the rabbi's life, there's two dates. There's Pesach and there's Yom HaNorayim, and a couple things in between. So speaking of Yom HaNorayim, so the Rambam, and I'll see the connection to the parsha in a moment. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, right at the very beginning, it tells us about the effectiveness of doing a repentance and Yom Kippur, how the day of Yom Kippur assists us in hopefully God granting us atonement. But then the Rambam, I think, and this is all in the first chapter of Hilchos Tshuva in the fourth halacha. He then tells us the following, that b'med dvar mamurim b'shelo chila Hashem. That all the sins that God forgives when we do teshuva, when we go through a process of Yom Kippur, when unfortunately sometimes we even require some form of physical suffering, all those different aspects that assist us in being granted a kapara atonement, are that there's one exception to all that, and what is that? B'shelo chilas Hashem. When we didn't desecrate God. In other words, if we did a sin, between us and God, and we did something wrong, we didn't keep Shabbos, God forbid, we didn't keep kosher. Okay, so we did something wrong, we got to do teshuva. But that's all predicated that we didn't publicly desecrate God's name. And he continues, B'shosh'avar, at the time that we made the violation. However, Avol Mechalas Hashem, but a person who desecrates God's name, Afal Pi She'asot Teshuva. So you did something in public that people knew you were Jewish and it looked bad on God, and this is how you behave, that other people will see you and how you conducted yourself. So even though you did feel bad and you clapped al chait and you did teshuva, you repented. V'gi'a Yom HaKippurim, and Yom Kippur arrived, and you went through the process of observing Yom Kippur, v'omei and you're good. You've moved forward, and you haven't reverted back to those old behaviors, and u'bo lav yisurim, and even that you got some sort of physical punishment in this world, some physical afflictions, eino miskaper lo kapara gemura. You don't receive a complete atonement ad shiyamos, until you die. Until you die. So that is pretty harsh, right? It sounds like for almost any other sin, there's a way to receive atonement in this world immediately, waiting for Yom Kippur. But when it comes to desecrating God's name, some public act in which you did something, and you clearly it was made God look bad, made the Jewish people look bad. It was a desecration, it was a chil Hashem. So the only ultimate atonement you receive is death itself. So I guess that's pretty harsh, but that's the Rambam codifies the halacha. Where do we see in the Torah that there's a notion to avoid chil Hashem, to not desecrate God's name? And a mitzvah to be mekadesh shem Hashem and to sanctify God's name. So you can make an argument that it perhaps appears in several places in the Torah, but perhaps none more explicit than this week's parsha of Emor. Parshas Emor. Now, Parshas Emor is there's basically two sections of Parshas Emor. The first half is all about the laws of the Kohanim, and the second half relates to the Kohanim, but it deals it's specific and it's well known because it's something that we read quite often. We read it always in outside of Israel on the sec on this. It's always the reading of the second day of Pesach. I think in Israel also, first day of Chol-Moed, they also read part of it. But for us, we read the second half of Parshas Emor. That's the Torah reading, and then on Sukkot for us, the first day in Israel and the first 2 days outside of Israel, it's the Torah reading on those days. And we call it the Parshas Mo'adim. It's the section of the Torah in great detail goes through the laws of the holidays. And it tells us about the various things that we do on the holidays. Hemisphere Sfirasa Omer is in there, which is, we're in the period of right now. And so those are the two major sections, Kohanim and then Sfirasa Omer. Sandwiched in between these two sections is the following pasuk. This is in Perek Chav Beis, pasuk Lamed Aleph. Shmarta mitzvosai, you shall guard my mitzvos. Vasisim osam, you shall perform them. Ani Hashem, I am God. Next pasuk, Lamed Beis. Lo sechalulu Hashem kadshi, you should not desecrate my holy name. Nikdashti, and I will be sanctified. Sof b'nei Yisrael, amongst the Jewish people. Ani Hashem mikadishchem, I am God who sanctified you. Who took you out of Egypt, to be for you a God. Ani Hashem, I am God. So again, the key phrase here is, "Lo sechalu," you shouldn't desecrate my name, "v'nikdashti," and I'll be sanctified, "b'soch b'nei Israel," amongst the Jewish people. So there, according to many, that this is the source of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name. That happens to be, just to be honest, some assume that, and Ibn Ezra says this explicitly, that this is specifically a commandment to the Kohanim, that this is at the end of the discussion of all the laws governing the Kohanim, who they can marry, who they can't marry, what type of Kohen is allowed before the Avodah, the service in the Mishkan, and later the Beis Hamikdash, which can't. And then it ends off with this pasuk. Ibn Ezra said this is referring talking to the Kohanim. The Kohanim have this special obligation not to desecrate God's name and to sanctify God. However, the Ramban, in his commentary on this pasuk, he says the following: "V'tam v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael adas rabbeinu mitzvah saseh shenikadesh eshemo b'mitzvos laharig aleihem v'lo navoda." This is the source of the commandment, of the positive biblical commandment, that we have to sanctify God through the performance of mitzvos. To the extent, this is very painful, but to the extent that we even have to be willing to give up our lives and not, rather than violate the Torah. V'zeh tamam otzi'eschem mi'eretz Mitzrayim li'oslachem Elohim. It's because I took you out of Egypt to be for your God. I took you out for a reason, right? You're working for me now, says Sam Hashem. Why did God take us out? God took us out of Egypt in order to serve him, to work for him, to sanctify his name, right? To be an example in this world to other people. That's what we're here for. And if we're not going to do that, so then we don't have a right to be here, right to exist. Right? That's why God has gifted us life. That's why God has given us, favored nation status. Right? Sometimes you have certain governments, favored nation in terms of, economic policy. So this is a religious, spiritual, policy, that this is our role, this is our function, this is why God put us here, this is why God took us out of the servitude of Egypt in order to represent him here in this world. And if we're not going to do that, so then, again, we have to be willing to even give up our lives for that reason. And one could, I think, argue that this mitzvah, and let me just take a step back, right? So we know that as Jews, right, there's three things that we can violate. And normally when it comes to the Torah, and this we learned out from a few parashas ago from the pasuk, and it says, v'chai b'ham, that you shall live by the mitzvahs, and a rabbi saved lo yishyamos them, you shouldn't die by the mitzvahs, that a person generally never has to perform a mitzvah if it's going to cause them to harm themselves. Right, like a classic example, again, I was talking about Yom Kippur, so you're supposed to fast on Yom Kippur. What happens if the doctor says, whatever, you have some condition, you're not, if you fast, it's going to put your life at risk. So in that situation, you're then prohibited from fasting. Because if you would fast, you would then die by the mitzvah. You're not supposed to die by the mitzvah, you're supposed to live by the mitzvah. But the Gemara says we have a tradition that there's three exceptions to this. Three things you can't violate. Murder, adultery, and idolatry, avodah zarah. Those three things. And the Gemara then further discusses, well, what happens if it's a lesser type of violation, but it's in public? So that perhaps also you're not allowed to violate. Even if it's a lesser type, because then again, it's public, then you're publicly desecrating God's name. So that's the technical halachic requirements. Where do we see that this is our purpose in this world? So I think one can argue it goes all the way back to the beginning of the Torah, right? To the beginning with Avram Avinu. Avram is initially given, you know, this mission of that he's going to be this great nation. So when Hashem appears to Avram before he destroys the city of Sodom, so why does God tell Avram what he's about to do? So there's like in the Torah, there's like a narrator at this point, right? It describes why Hashem is going to reveal what is about to happen. So the Torah says the following, that Vashem Amar, God says, Amachases Avram, Ani mi Avram, am I gonna withhold from Avram Asher Ani Yosef what I'm about to do? Why should I not hide it from him? Because the Avram, Lagoy Gadol, he's going to be this great nation, Atsum, this mighty great nation. The entire world is going to be blessed through him, which you could argue is that the entire world is going to be blessed because they're going to learn from him. All right, the entire world is going to learn, you know, what it is to be a human being and how to act, what God wants from us in this world. And because what's Avram going to do? Says God, I know that God is going to instruct his children, his household after him, to observe the path of God, to do righteousness and justice. In order for God to do for Avram what he has told him to do. In other words, so what's our role in this world? Our role in this world is to be an example and to perform acts of righteousness and justice. So for us to not do that, right, to desecrate God, so that's totally against, you know, what our whole purpose is. Our purpose is to sanctify God's name. Okay. So that's the mitzvah, and that appears in our parsha. But the question is, right? So I said before, according to Ibn Ezra, that he thought that the pasuk was talking about the Kohanim, because it follows the laws of the Kohanim. So if that's so the question is, why does it appear at this juncture? So what I want to share with you for the remainder of time is two insights by Rav Nissen Alpert. Rav Nissen Alpert. Passed away, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago or so. He was a student, one of the prime students of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I know he served also as a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University. And they published a sefer of a lot of his insights into the weekly Torah reading called Limudei Nissan. Yeah, the name is Rav Nissen Alpert. So he has a couple of essays on this pasuk about sanctifying Hashem's name, which is such an important mitzvah. Again, we start off with the Rambam that if you violate this mitzvah, even Yom Kippur doesn't atone. Teshuvah, only death itself atones. So he says that, but he points out that it appears in the parsha that talks about the Kohanim. So why the Kohanim? And he says, we assume that all the Jewish people are commanded to this mitzvah. And v'limsur nafsham, and even to have to give up your life, k'dei shelo lavor, or it's not to violate certain prohibitions. Therefore, v'loma nemra mitzvah zu, b'parsha adonav mitzvah sa'kohanim. So why is the mitzvah given in the parsha that relates to the Kohanim? So I want to suggest the following. That ultimately, what was the role of the Kohen? The role of the Kohen was to set an example for the Jewish people, right? The role of the Kohen was to be those individuals who the people would come to not only to bring their korbanos or sacrifices, but they would, you know, like they were the original rabbis that people would go to for advice and for spiritual leadership. and guidance, and therefore the Kohanim themselves had to set the example, right? Can you imagine that the people are supposed to, you can imagine like in school, like, you know, for the kids, if you have a teacher who's doing all these terrible things, like what kind of example is that, right? That's like the worst thing. Like, you know, you can learn all the texts you want and all the, you know, all the Mishnahs, the Gemaras, the Psukim, but if you have someone who's teaching that and then doesn't live their life that reflects those values, then that's the worst message you can send. So the Kohanim had to set the example. Well, if the Kohanim had to set the example, so we, the Jewish people, as we know, we're also Kohanim. We're not Kohanim in the sense of working in the base of Migdash, but the Torah says in Parshas Yisrael, before God gives the Torah, Atem tiyu lim amlechas Kohanim begoy kadosh. You'll be for me a kingdom of priests. And what does that mean? That we have to be like the Kohanim, that we have to be the set the example for the entire world. That the way we conduct ourselves and the way that we behave and the way that you know, that we live our lives has to be an example. So I think that's why it appears in the parasha of Kohanim. Just like the Kohanim had to set the example, and they obviously couldn't, they had to sanctify God, not to desecrate God. So we, the Jewish people as well, we have that mission to the world at large. Okay, that's the first thing he says. But then he says the following. When there's a usually a commandment in the Torah, so like the Torah will say, you know, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, you know, can command the Jewish people, Vasulem, they should do for me the following. Like, you know, every morning you say the Kriya Shema, Vasulem tzitzis, and you shall make for yourself tzitzis. Right? It's like, you know, it's a command. You shall do the following. But here, from this and outward points out, there's a very strange language that's used. On the one hand, it says, "V'lo yichalu," you shouldn't desecrate. But then it says, "V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." V'nikdashti. Now, v'nikdashti, I probably translated incorrect before. I said, you know, and you shall sanctify me, right? You know, amongst the Jewish people, you shall sanctify me. But v'nikdashti doesn't really mean that. It means, and I shall be sanctified. Not that you should sanctify, but rather I shall be sanctified. And he says, "Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuyim." We're all commanded in this. Al Kiddush Hashem, on sanctify God's name. So he says, but if that's the case, for Tzarech Bir, it needs explanation. Lama lo nemra mitzvah zu b'lashon tzivoy. Why doesn't, when the Torah present this pasuk, why isn't it used b'lashon tzivoy? Why isn't it used an expression of command? In other words, kadshu es shemi, which would mean you should sanctify my name. But the way the Torah presents it, again, for this, the Hebrew, the grammar, it sounds like it's telling a story, and I will be sanctified. But it really should say, you shall sanctify, not that I will be sanctified. So he gives a very important message. A very important message. He says the following. You know, ultimately, again, as we've said a couple times already, that we take this mitzvah to such an extent that, God forbid, we're in a position that that sometimes we may even have to give up our lives for God's name. I mean, no, Jews have done that throughout our history, right? That Jews, you know, like in the Crusades, for example, which, you know, the first Crusades actually took place during this time period of the year, like the months of Iyar and Sivan, that the Jews often gave up their lives, you know, rather than give in to demands of embracing Christianity and things of that nature. And so, you know, Jews have had to do this, tragically. So he says the following. He says, Venir Ali, he's by the by, how can a Jew do that? Not that how could God command it, but when push comes to shove, is a person really going to give up their life? You know, so your whole life's ahead of you. So, if someone says, you know, worship this idol, you're not going to work, you're going to give up your life and not live out, you know, many more years. How are you going to do that? How can you really muster that commitment and that total complete faith in God to be able to have the strength to be able to do that? There's most mitzvos, you know, most sometimes a mitzvah can be a little annoying, can be a little challenging. Financially, it could be a burden. You know, it could be like, they have the time to do this. It's it's not easy to just, but okay, you do it and you move on. But this mitzvah, if I do this mitzvah, my life is over, right? Because it's going to demand that I have to give up my life. So how can a person, who would do that? So he says, "Benir Lid appears to me shat Torah gilsa esadera chamevia lidei kiddush Hashem." You know what the Torah is doing here? It's not just commanding you to sanctify God's name; it's telling you how you'll be able to perform it. Ad mesiras nefesh, to the extent that you'll be able to give up your life. Meaning what? Gvura limsur akol chay adam ain above ofen chapami. This instruction to give up your life, it's not going to happen out of nowhere. When the moment presents itself, it's not just going to occur that you're naturally going to do this. That happens to be, I forget who said, there are some unfortunate who say that Jews will do this. That's sort of like in our DNA, that even a Jew who never, anything Jewish, they say like, even a Jew like who never was observant or never was, did anything, but they, in their heart and their kishkas and their soul, they know they're a Jew. So when the moment comes, they'll be able to do it. Rav Alpert suggests it's a little more than that. If a person really wants to fulfill this mitzvah, you know how you can fulfill this mitzvah? You only feel that you can fulfill this mitzvah if your entire life you dedicated yourself to God. Your entire life, you lived al kiddush Hashem. Your entire life, you live by sanctifying God. Right? You did what God asked from you. You lived a life of holiness and sanctity in all spheres and in religious spheres and in terms of your schora, your business practices, inside the house, outside the house. You were a person that was concerned about your behavior and what you did. They made sure you did the right thing. Maybe kaparasov was the truth. If you did something wrong, you repented. You were careful, it says, with your pib, with your mouth, to always try to say the right thing and not to speak words of falsehood, not to slander anyone. You fulfill God's commandments like you're supposed to. You lived a life doing that. Then he says, then you have within yourself the power to of connectivity to Hashem. And as in all that you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then if the moment that God forbid ever comes where you have to make the choice, am I going to give up my life or not for God's sake? So you know what's going to happen? He says, what's going to happen? It's just going to occur automatically. In other words, if you're gonna have to stop and think, should I do this? Should I not do this? It's not necessarily gonna happen. But if for you, your entire life, you dedicate yourself to Hashem, you lived a life based upon what God wants from you, to be committed to Hashem. You are walking and living an example of what it is to be a Jew, and you set an example for others. So God forbid, if the moment comes that you have to. The choice is before you. Are you going to give up your life for God? In Nikdashti, it's just going to happen. I don't need to command you to do it. You just automatically. And he gives a very powerful example. This will end. He says, he quotes the Gemara Maseches Brachos, the famous and terrible and tragic story of the end of the life of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who turned his whole life around in the middle of his life and studied Torah day and night and dedicated himself to Hashem, and he amassed all his students and the holy Rabbi Akiva. So we know at the end of his life, he was taken prisoner by the Romans and he was tortured, right, to death. He was martyred, he was killed by the Romans. And so what happened? He's dying, he's being tortured. And the Gemara famously tells us what he's doing as he's dying. He's saying Kriya Shema, right? And this is the source for all Jews, you know, God forbid, at that moment, that the last thing on their lips is they say the Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chad. So not only is he saying the Shema at that moment, but the Gemara says he's like almost like smiling. So the students are there. It's a public spectacle. What's happening, and they can't believe that he's able to accept this at this moment. He's praising God, Shema Yisrael, you know, at such a moment, right? Afilo Tami, even the students who knew him so well, they didn't understand how he could have such an attitude at that moment. The Sholu Arkan, they said, Rebbe, to this extent. You serve God to such an extent, you know, you're happy to serve God even at this moment. So where did he respond? And here's the wrap this all together. The Heshav Lem Rekiva, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mistara Mataya Volidea Vakimena. He said, my entire life I was always wondering, when will I have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of serving God b'chol nafshecha? Right? We say in the Shema, you're supposed to serve God with all your soul. And our rabbis tell us that means even you have to be willing to give up your life. So Rav Alpert is interpreting this Gemara in a very profound way. He says, was Rav Akiva, that this was what Rav Akiva was worried about his entire life? You know, okay, I did tzitzis, I did tefillin, I did Shabbos, you know, I didn't speak Lashon Hara, and I can't wait to fulfill the mitzvah of dying on Kiddush Hashem. That his whole life, that's what he's waiting for? So that can't be what Rav Akiva was saying. You know, like your whole life you're waiting to get married, right? Your whole life you're hoping to have a child. Your whole life you're waiting to have grandchildren. Like, okay, so that's what you can hope for, right? Your whole life, you know, you're hoping to be able to make Aliyah. Okay, but your whole life you're waiting to die to, you know, Kiddush Hashem. That's what you're waiting for? That's absurd. So Valpert says that's not what he was saying. You think, my entire life, basically, I was living a life of Kiddush Hashem. My entire life, I was dedicated to Hashem, to the extent that if this would ever happen to me, and the choice would be presented to me, it would happen naturally. I would naturally would make the right decision at this moment. It's not that I was hoping to die on Kiddush Hashem. It's just that I was living a life that when moments of crisis would present, when moments of challenge, I would know automatically what to do. And how was I able to do that? Because I lived a life not dying on Kiddush Hashem, but I lived a life being Mekadesh Shem Hashem, of sanctifying God's name. And that's what, I start off with Yom Kippur, that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Yom Kippur, Maseches on Yuma, which discusses Yom Kippur at the very end. It talks about the mitzvah not to serve God with all your soul, but to serve Hashem with all your heart, b'chol levavcha. So it says, what does it mean to serve God with all your heart? Shehei shem shemayim misavev al yadacha, that the name of God should become beloved through you. That through your actions, the name of God should become beloved. Meaning what? That you should be a Jew who's dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Korei v'shrona, you should learn and study. Mishamis t'mnei chachamim, you'll serve like scholars. V'hei maso masno benachas, you should be honest when it comes to in business. And you should be honest when it comes to your interactions with other human beings, in mabrios. You should live your life doing what God wants from you. And what will people say about you? Mabrios omros olav. And you know what people will say about you? Ashri Aviv, praises are your parents. Shalom to Torah, taught you Torah. Ashri Rabbo, praise are your teachers. Shalom to Torah, taught you Torah. Right? That this is a Jew. Well, people look at you and say, that's what I want to be like that. That's what it means to be a godly person. You live your life like Kiddush Hashem. And so Rabbi Akiva says, that's what I did. Right? I spent my life dedicating myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what? So that now this moment came. So for me, it's not a soft thing. It's not a doubt. It's not a question. This is what I need to do. Not that I was looking forward to this, but I know how to respond at this moment. That's what the parsha is telling us, right? To be like the Kohanim, to set the example, right? To set the example not only for, you know, for our fellow Jews, but for the world at large. To fulfill the mandate of what Hashem knew about Avram Avinu, that Avram would set an example for his children and for the world. And the way that we do that is that not dying on Kiddush Hashem, which is a mitzvah that we have to do, God forbid that comes, but that we come to such a moment, but rather that we live our lives on Kiddush Hashem. We sanctify God in everything that we do, our actions, our behavior, that our fellow Jews learn from us, that we're able to demonstrate to them what it means to be a person who's dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fullest sense of the world, of that word, and that other Jews want to be like us, not only other Jews, but the world at large, all human beings want to say that, oh, that's what a godly person is. That's what it means to be connected to the divine. That's how people of sanctity, that's how they act, and that's how they behave. And as a result, what ultimately occurs is that God's name becomes magnified. That's what Hashem, we were taken out of Egypt as Hashem to do that mission, that we're God's servants, we're God's messengers to spread that message to our fellow Jews and to the larger world. Okay, wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.